Welcome, my fellow humans, to another episode of the Healthy Happy Human Podcast, the show where I teach you how to live healthy, be happy, and lead an all-around full and fulfilled life. With new episodes each and every week, I bring you industry-leading experts, thought leaders, and all-around brilliant minds on topics ranging from mindset to nutrition to habit building to fitness and more. My goal is to help you get from where you are to where you want to be in life. I'm happy to have you here. Now let's dive in. What's up, my friends? Welcome back to another episode of the Healthy Happy Human Podcast. Today, I was doing check-ins for my one-on-one VIP coaching clients, as I do pretty much every morning. These are clients who I'm working with to build a healthy, happy life. As you know, since you're here, that has to do with habits, routines, fitness, nutrition, and a lot more. Health and happiness are all-encompassing, and there's a lot to it. The reason I preface with this is because the story I'm about to bring up is about nutrition and diet, but the work we are doing is far larger than that. So just a quick aside to say that health and happiness do not revolve around weight loss. I think far too often people get super caught up on the scale weight, and that's not the end-all be-all. However, with this particular client, it is something that we are working on. Okay, whatever. Okay, what's my point? So, I was talking to my client about her habits, the routines we've been putting into place, and I always start every client conversation the same way, with a simple prompt. Give me a win or something you're celebrating since the last time we spoke. And she said, quote, I'm really proud that I had a super stressful day at work, and I didn't lean on food or snacking to solve it like I would have in the past, end quote. And that's awesome. Huge win. I love it. And I communicated as such to her. Anytime we can stay in the driver's seat, stay in control when our cravings or urges kick in, be them for food or Netflix or whatever other negative habit we're trying to limit, that is a big deal and it deserves to be celebrated. And that's why I always start my clients with wins. So we did. We celebrated. I cheered her on because that's what happens when you get a win in my world. However, after we celebrated a bit, I brought something up to her. Specifically, it was the way she phrased the last sentence. I didn't lean on snacking to solve the stress. This really stood out to me. And I said to her, you know, it's interesting that you say I didn't use snacking to solve the stress as if that were ever even a possibility. Right, think about it. People often use eating as quote unquote stress relief. You have a hard day at work, get in an argument with your significant other, and that sends you right to the freezer aisle for some quality time with the two best therapists you know, Ben and Jerry. Or you're up late with a work deadline, and instead of staring at the screen for another hour, you find yourself staring down at the bottom of an empty bag of Doritos. We think of this as stress relief because it gives us an immediate release from the impending doom we feel we are facing in that moment. In reality, though, it isn't stress relief so much as it is a stress distraction. And just remember that if food isn't your thing, this goes for any net negative influence that we use to placate ourselves in times of stress. So if you're like, well, I don't stress eat, if it's scrolling Instagram instead of answering that email from your boss or turning on Netflix instead of finishing that work report, these things are all the same. We search for things that give us immediate relief in the form of distraction. It takes your mind off the task at hand and allows your brain to pretend that the thing is no longer an issue that needs immediate solving. But this is, of course, a lie. It's false. The quote-unquote solution is not a solution at all. It is just a distraction. A distraction that, quite often, actually makes things worse in the long run. See, at best, you're left with the same problem, right? You had the fight with your significant other. You have the email that you have to answer to your boss. You have the project that's due. Whatever the distraction is, it doesn't actually change that. But at worst, you have actually done more damage to yourself because you ate a food that isn't good for you, or you wasted time that you didn't have, or you some other way distracted yourself and caused more negative damage. And then to add to that, what ends up happening is that that ends up causing more stress. You stress about the original problem, which you didn't solve, you only delayed, and then you stress about the poor decision that you made about eating the food you weren't supposed to, or about wasting time that you didn't have on Netflix, or, you know, whatever else it is. So the thing you reach to as an answer actually makes things worse. This is big problem number one. When we seek stress relief, but actually get stress distraction, that compounds the negative and ends up being a double down on the stress that we're actually trying to avoid, because it doesn't solve the problem and leaves us beating ourselves up about the food we ate, the time we wasted, the thing that we didn't do, which then causes us to be more stressed, causes us to lean on a fake stress relief again, go eat more food, go waste more time, go skip more things, go bury our head deeper in the sand, and it becomes a negative shame spiral, self-fulfilling prophecy of doom, where we try to avoid something because we're stressed about it. The thing we avoid causes more stress. We try to avoid that stress by going to another thing, and this cycle perpetuates itself over and over and over. So this problem is one that I found clients get stuck in all the time. Again, when it comes to food, when it comes to eating, when it comes to all different things regarding stress, because we don't actually have outlets for our stress. We have distractions from our stress. Something that's important for you to realize, though, is that a big reason that this happens is that we've been set up for failure because people quite often seek to solve a problem with an anesthetic, a numbing agent. So, quick story time. You know, I have a lot of tattoos. If you know me or follow me on social media, you know that. And because of all my tattoos, I get a lot of questions from non-tattoo havers about my ink. And bar none, the question I get asked the most, like literally at least once or twice a week, is, does it hurt? And people always want to ask, whoa, does it hurt? Do all those tattoos hurt? Does it hurt to get tattoos? To which I reply, yeah, it hurts a lot. Hundreds and hundreds of cumulative hours being blasted by motorized tattoo needles is not what I would describe as fun. I started getting tattoos when I was about 19. And when I was around 25, I discovered that they actually have something called tattoo numbing cream, which is exactly like it sounds, a specifically made topical ointment that numbs your skin for the purposes of getting a tattoo pain-free. And when I first heard about this, you know, I had been getting tattoos for years and in a ton of pain, and this was like a revelation. Like, why the hell had I been subjecting myself to hours and hours of pain when this miracle cure exists? And why do more people not talk about this? So, of course, you know, I went out and got it. On my next tattoo, I tried it. And I put on the cream about 30 minutes beforehand, and I let it settle in just like the instructions stated. And I sat in the chair, ready to have my first ever pain-free tattoo experience. I was smiling ear to ear. Usually, you know, before I start a tattoo, it's a very nerve-wracking experience because I'm like, oh, shit, I'm about to be in pain for the next 3, 4, 5, 8 hours. But this time I was happy. And then the artist geared up and started blasting away, and I was pretty pleased. It wasn't completely pain-free, but it was certainly more pleasant than past experiences. Wasn't numb per se, but all things considered, there was significantly less pain, and I thought that it was a win overall. Then, after about an hour of this, something changed. The cream began to wear off, and I was suddenly and all at once hit with the compounded pain of a full hour's worth of tattooing in about a minute. My skin that had been tattooed already was raw. The cream wore off and it was now hurting, and the artist was continuing to tattoo other areas, adding to the overall discomfort and pain. So it was a double whammy. And in that moment, I understood why numbing cream was not more popular, and why it wasn't talked about, and why it wasn't the true answer to all of my prayers like I thought it would be. It was merely a distraction. It didn't solve the problem. It simply delayed it. You know, sure, I got an hour of pain-free tattooing out of it, but the pain eventually came back even worse down the road. You know, similar to when you leave the house in a huff after an argument with your wife or husband and head to the nearest McDonald's for a McFlurry to soothe your pain. Maybe for those first 10 minutes you're distracted by the sweet taste of ice cream and M&M chunks, but once the initial sugar rush dies down, you're left with the somber realization that you still are in a fight, you haven't solved anything, and now you just feel like shit physically on top of it from stuffing your face with ice cream. Oh, and oh yeah, you also blew your diet that you had been pretty solid with for the last 2 weeks. And the main thing we need to understand here is the difference between treating the symptom versus treating the problem. In the case of my tattoo, the pain I was experiencing was actually the symptom. I tried numbing it with cream. However, that didn't solve the problem. The problem was being blasted by tattoo needles for 5 consecutive hours. See, in reality, there is no solving the symptom without solving the problem. The only way to stop the pain would be to stop the problem, meaning not get the tattoo. In this case, the pain, you know, which is in this situation both metaphorical and literal, was to me worth it, so I deal with it. You know, I like tattoos, so I manage the pain. But what happens when the pain isn't worth it to you? When your pain is being overweight or having a back that is in constant pain and stops you from participating in certain physical activities that you used to enjoy, when your pain is not finding success in the business that you were always trying to start but never really quite catching any momentum with, these types of pain all present with upfront symptoms, which you may be quick to try to treat. This is, however, as in the case of my tattoo, just a mild numbing agent that will do nothing but lead to more accumulated pain down the road. For example, many people want to be at a healthier weight. We live in a world where 42% of American adults are obese, which is a frightening number. So it's understandable that most people are thinking about weight loss in some capacity throughout their lives. Going back to the start of this episode, this all came about from a client wanting to eat healthier to lose weight. It's understandable. For many people, however, the want and desire to lose weight often becomes a constant, a lifelong battle as people seek to find a healthy relationship with food, as well as a healthy weight and stay there. Instead, quite often, you only find struggle. See, in my years of experience coaching hundreds of clients, this is very often a result of symptom over problem thinking. And this is everywhere. Anytime you seek change, you need to understand this. Again, business, relationships, it doesn't matter. Everything is the same. But it's especially important in regards to weight loss, diet, and exercise. Say you're looking to lose weight. What do you do? Well, that's pretty simple. You change your diet, you start to exercise. It's obvious, right? In this scenario, though, the symptom is being overweight, which comes from the problem of eating too much and not exercising enough. So it seems pretty straightforward. What do you do? Most people would say, I'll cut carbs, or I'll limit sugar, or I'll cut back on the weekend drinks. I'll start doing some weird meal replacement shakes, whatever. Maybe you start running, or lifting, or going to the gym, or doing yoga. Whatever route you decide, it seems pretty cut and dry. Okay? The symptom is being overweight. The problem is I don't exercise and I don't eat right. So the change fixed the problem of eating right and exercising. The symptom of being overweight will go away. And yet, here we are with nearly half of the adult American population being obese. So clearly there is some disconnect there. Clearly it's not that easy. And what I'm proposing is that the reason is simple. It's that you do not understand the true problem and symptom dynamic at play here. See, you might think what I just said is true, that the problem is that you overeat and the symptom is that you're overweight. And that would mean treat the problem, i.e. change your diet, i.e. eat less, and the symptom will clear itself up. In reality, though, the problem is not simply that you overeat. The problem is what is going on that causes you to overeat. Think about that for a second. We all know that being overweight is unhealthy. Most people want to lose weight. It is not from a lack of want or even a lack of effort that they don't. There's an old parable about two friends who are standing on a bridge over a river. Suddenly, in the water rushing by, they see a small child getting washed through the river, struggling to swim and keep their head above water. Both men immediately jump in and grab the young boy and swim him to safety on shore. And just as they do, they see another child floating down the river. Again, they jump in, swim over, save him, swim him to shore. They get out with the boy, and this time they see a little girl come floating by. They jump in to save her. And when they get to shore, another, and then another. And one by one, they continue to jump in, quickly swim over and pull the children out to safety. Till finally, panting, they return to shore, getting more and more tired with each child they save. And one of the men just starts to turn and walk away. And the first man yells to him. He goes, "Where are you going? I need your help. There's all these kids coming down the river." And the second man replies, "I'm going upriver to see who's throwing all these damn kids in the water." See, something is causing these kids to fall into the river. Something is causing you to overeat. Something is causing you to skip the gym. Something is causing you to watch Netflix instead of work on your business. You can spend all your time and energy pulling kids out of the river. That's trying new diets. That's signing up for new workout classes or listening to motivational speeches, buying new planners, hiring new managers, or whatever else. But eventually you will run out of steam. Or you can go upstream, go upriver, and see what is causing the thing in the first place. Authors Chip and Dan Heath, who I stole this parable from, I did not create it, have an amazing book about this exact topic called Upstream, which I definitely suggest checking out. I'll link to in the show notes. What you need to think about is, why do you continually find yourself floating downstream? Changing your diet is downstream thinking. Upstream thinking would be, what causes the urge to overeat? Why do you seek food when going through stress? Why do you say you want to lose weight, but then take actions directly counter to that goal? See, questions like that are the hard questions. Eat less carbs is easy. Cut back on alcohol is a no-brainer solution, but they also aren't really answering the actual problem. It's the questions like, why do I feel the need to overeat? Why do I seek food in stressful times? These are upstream questions. These are getting to the real root of the problem. And the same can be said for exercise. You know you should be exercising more. So what do most people do? Maybe you sign up for a gym membership. Maybe you pay for a month's worth of yoga classes so you feel forced to go. But what you need to ask yourself is, why do you find it so hard to go to work out? You know, if it's just because it's hard, it's a hard workout and you don't want to do it, you know, maybe yes, a little grit and perseverance is just what the doctor ordered. However, for many people, it's more than that. Maybe it's because you don't know what to do when you go to the gym. This lack of confidence or fear of looking silly keeps you from being motivated to go. The solution then is not simply to join a gym and force your way through it. It might be to get educated on proper exercise techniques so that you can feel confident and know that the time you spend in the gym will be time well spent. That is upstream. That is solving the problem before the symptom arises. Maybe you had a past injury or a poor experience in a fitness environment, like a shitty gym teacher in high school or a particularly creepy personal trainer. All of these things still exist, lingering in the back of your head, and are associated anytime your brain thinks about working out or the gym, and these negative associations may be enough for you to say, that's okay, I'll skip today. A lot of this is happening subconsciously, again, making it that much harder to realize or even understand what's happening. And again, now we get to the real deeper issues. See, upstreaming is the correct solution. It's solving the problem before the problem, before the symptom. Unfortunately, people often don't know or understand that this is even an option. It takes a level of understanding and introspection to even get to a point where we know we have to work on our deeper shit to solve our surface level shit. And there's a lot of shit going on. Trust me, I know more than most. I've got a lot of shit that I've had to work through and still am working through. And the thing is, even if we do understand that, it is still fucking hard. It takes time, effort. You might have to go to therapy or dig through some of your past traumatic life stuff. It's a doozy. But this is the real work. And even with all of that being said, it is still worth it. Because this is literally the only way. And that's the thing. This is why this is so important. And this is why I'm taking the time to talk to you about this. There is no other option. It's not like you can say like, well, yeah, dealing with the problem seems hard, so I'm just gonna keep dealing with the symptom. I mean, you can say that. Plenty of people do. But the thing you're doing, if you are saying that, is you're setting yourself up for disappointment and failure down the road. Because again, you can only keep plucking those kids out of that river for so long before your arms, your legs, or your lungs give out. So how do you know you've been a victim of symptom solving? Well, ask yourself this. Have you been trying to solve the same problem for far too long? Have you had the same goals for months, years, decades? Do you find yourself setting the same weight loss goal, the same exercise goal every January 1st? Is every New Year's resolution the same? I'm going to lose those 10 pounds. Maybe the reason you haven't lost those 10 pounds is because you haven't looked at the real root cause of your eating habits, your exercise habits. Have you been talking about starting a morning routine for the last however long? Maybe the reason you continually find yourself staying up late and sabotaging your efforts to wake up early is because of some deeper root issue. You know, if it's weight loss, if you've tried keto, paleo, Atkins, Weight Watchers, and everything else, if it's exercise and you've tried running and didn't stick to that, tried lifting weights and didn't stick to that, tried signing up for ClassPass and didn't stick to that, and you keep telling yourself, well, this time it's going to be different. You know, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. Again, this very well could be because you're seeking to solve symptoms and yet leaving the real root cause of the problem untouched. So if you're listening to this, nodding your head, if this is you, I'm glad that we've got this far, but I do have some bad news for you. Because if you're here nodding along and you're waiting with bated breath for me to give you the answer, there is none. There is no simple solution to this. This is hard. Upstream thinking is hard, and this is why most people don't do it. This is why most people just go around symptom solving for their entire life and stressed and frustrated about why they're never actually getting to the goal that they're trying to achieve. So I can't give you an exact answer, but I can give you advice. My advice is you need to first do some deep thinking. You know, take a real unbiased look at yourself, at your actions. Are you stuck in a cycle? Are you seeking solutions for things that don't actually solve anything? Right? Are you leaning on snacking to solve stress that isn't about food? Are you trying to distract yourself with Netflix or cat memes when you have a work issue? Are you trying to solve a problem with something that has nothing to do with it? The next best advice I have would be to ask for help. I did a recent poll in my Facebook community. It's a private Facebook group that I have where I do live trainings, which, side note, if you'd like to join, the link is in the show notes. But the poll asked about a host of different mindset struggles that people might go through. And I was very surprised that among the top answers was not being able to ask for help. And this is a big, big problem and a real struggle for people. And the thing is, you have to understand, we don't solve big problems like this without help. Again, just look at the world we're in. 50% of adults are obese. If it were as easy as just fixing this stuff, it would already be fixed. So there are things you can try. Journaling is great. Maybe therapy. Or maybe you need the help of a seasoned and certified coach who has helped hundreds of people find their way out of symptom thinking and help them to solve the real problems that hold them back. Someone like me. And if that's the case, you can reach out to me via DM on social media or use the link in the show notes to put in an application. And we can talk about how I might be able to help you too. But regardless, the fact remains. Fighting the symptom only leads to overwhelm, stress, and eventually burnout. This is not the recipe for success. And going back to my client from the beginning, where we started today, here's what I said to her. I said, it's great that you didn't lean on food as stress relief. However, realize that food was never going to relieve that stress. So how about we work on some ways to look at your stress and find real outlets that are more productive and actually deal with the root cause so you don't continually even feel the need to snack away your stress. And she liked that idea, so that's exactly what we did. And that's it, my friends. You need to go upstream. Find the problem before the problem, before the symptom, and solve it. That is the only way to find true, real, long-term success and create sustainable change in your life. All right, team, that's all for today. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. I hope that this invigorated you to really dig deep into your problems and to think about upstream thinking. Once again, if you would like to inquire about one-on-one coaching with me, I do have 2 one-on-one VIP coaching slots open right now as of recording this in July 2021. Feel free to reach out whenever you're listening to this via, again, a DM on Instagram, Facebook, or LinkedIn, or click the link in the show notes for more information. Even if those slots fill out, I do have a waiting list if you're listening to this at a different time, maybe sometime in the future. So I hope you enjoyed this. Please, as always, screenshot and share on social media. If you got value out of this, share it with a friend or a family member who would also get value. Be sure to tune in next Wednesday at 7 a.m. for the next episode. And until then, stay healthy, stay happy, my friends.